Meow! Welcome to the Cat Tunes Podcast. I'm your host, Catherine Corelli. On this podcast, I'm going to talk about the stories behind my songs, the production tools that I've used, the production methods that I've employed, the instruments that I've played, the instruments that I've discovered, the arrangement methods that I've used, the real-life stories which precipitated the creation of my entire albums or of my separate tracks. So let's jump right into it, shall we? And welcome you listening to the Cat Tunes Podcast. This is episode 104. Today we're talking about the last song from the When Painkillers Fail album, which is called Hushabye Baby. If you've listened to this song, you know that it is perhaps the saddest song on the entire album. And it is a pretty dark note to conclude the album with. If you haven't heard this song, of course, I want to highly recommend for you to go and find it on any major streaming platform. Find it and listen to it. It's a very simple song. It's very simple in structure. It's actually written in the style of a folk song. And that's done deliberately. I didn't want to overcomplicate the structure. And also, this is why I keep repeating that it is important, or let's say it's preferable to listen to the whole album, because when you listen to the whole album, you start to hear and feel all the inter-song dynamics that I'm putting in to my work. So in the case of Hushabye Baby, something that adds even more to its simplicity is the contrast. Namely, the contrast to the previous track. And the previous track was Serial Number. Serial Number is a large track, and it's heavy, and structurally it's pretty complex. So when you listen to the whole album, there is Serial Number, and then, just as if you're falling off a cliff, all of a sudden there is this simple, very simple, and short song called Hushabye Baby. And part of the emotional and dynamic impact that you're going to experience is coming from this contrast. However, even if you listen to this track, even on its own, just as a separate piece of music, it still is very simple. Musically, melodically, there is not much to it. It consists just of a couple of chord progressions, and they are kind of closely related, let's put it this way. And there is a lot of repetition. It's just the same stuff that has been repeated over and over again, and even the lyrics are deliberately written in a repetitive fashion. Every verse starts with Hushabye Baby, and it's over and over again. Hushabye Baby, Hushabye Baby, and then there is a conclusion in the end. At the time when I was writing this track, it was a pretty interesting time in 2007, pretty nerve-wracking time and a pretty dark one. And it wasn't only about 2007, it was about a lot of things that were dragging, which were dragged into this song from different periods of my life. And it wasn't about me, it wasn't about just one single event or something like that. It was about a lot of things, because when I was growing up, I witnessed some disturbing things, and as I was growing up, there was the war in Chechnya going on, and there was the war in Transnistria. There were those things going on. I was growing up to that. It was a pretty dark time, and this song is kind of a summary a rather simple overall summary of certain things, and it is... I fail to recall right now what is the exact word for it. There is a genre of folk music that pertains exactly for this. It's kind of like mourning, a mourning song, you know? M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G, a mourning song, which used to be sung for people who pass away. There would be a special song for it. So this is kind of like this, and it's kind of a mourning lullaby. It is a lullaby on one hand because it's close your eyes, hushaby baby, and on the other hand, it is a mourning song. So that's what actually makes this lullaby very dark. It is like a last lullaby, you could say. For all those whom I've known growing up, my peers who have passed away during those wild times and a little later for a variety of reasons, and for children who perished in those wars, who suffered, who didn't make it. It's about this. It's about all of those things. And it's a... It kind of points towards babies with different eyes, with blue eyes, with brown eyes, with gray eyes, to all babies, basically. It's about all the babies. It's about, it's also about that, you know, you want the baby not to have to encounter all of these horrible things. You want the baby not to encounter war. You want the baby to have a happy childhood. That's what's this all about? If you listen to the song, you'll hear it for yourself. I don't want to over-explain it. It's pretty obvious, and it's all there. So I think, with that being said, let me move on to next section and do some music analysis. There's not going to be a lot of it. There's going to be a little bit. So let's move on, shall we? So here we go with the music analysis. The song is in A minor. You can't get any simpler than this. The song is in A minor. And there is an intro with a little pad that plays just... First, it plays just a chord progression, and it's repeated twice. And there is a little twinkling kind of synth or something that plays something like this. There's an A minor. D minor. F major plus 7, A minor. C major. D minor. F major. E major. And this is the intro. And on top of this, there is this... And repeats twice. And then after that, we're going into the first verse. But I kind of haphazardly jumped right into the analysis without even playing the song. Let's play the whole song, the entire song, right now. And after that, I will make the rundown to the end. All right? Let's listen. Thank you. Okay, so here we go. Right after this intro, which I just laid out previously, there is the first verse, which starts, again, it's the same chord progression. Hush and bye, baby, close your blue eyes. Hush and bye, baby. Of what you shall bear. Hush and bye, baby. Time will come, I'll be gone. Hush and bye, baby. Time will come, you'll be gone. So there's an A minor, then D minor, da, 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 ba, F major, da, ba, da, ba, C major, D minor, then F major. Da, 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 da. E major, and we're in harmonic minor. And then there is kind of like a hook of sorts, or rather a second half of the verse. Da, 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 bum, bum. And there is this D minor minus 7. Then a C major. E major. That's the whole melody. The verses consist of a five-liner, and then there's the second part of the verse, which is a four-liner. And then there's the second verse, and then there's the third verse, and the only difference is that it repeats the first chord progression twice. And it all subsides, and in the end... Time will come, I'll be gone. Time will come, I'll be gone. Time will come, we'll be gone. No one knows when we'll come.
No one knows when we'll come. It's an important line in the very end of the song, because first, time will come, I'll be gone. Time will come, you'll be gone. Time will come, we'll be gone. But then it says, no one knows when we'll come. And this is the only positive line which changes the whole equation and points towards rebirth. It points towards the continuation of life. So it's not, it's a very important line, because it's not just about death and sorrow, this song. It's not just about burying. Or lamenting or mourning the loss of life, the loss of children. This last line points towards that there will be new life, there will be new children, there will be a future, and it should be there. That's why that line is there. Other than that, what other remarks do I want to give? Well, first of all, the obvious thing about this whole song is that it starts very quietly and then it escalates to a higher degree, just dynamically and emotionally. Hush and bye, baby, close your brown eyes. And then there is the backing vocal, of course. Hush your brown eyes. So it's kind of, It is deliberately written in kind of a pseudo-folk way. It almost sounds like a folk song. With these little additional backing vocals and counterpoints and that kind of stuff. And even the manner, the way it is performed, is deliberately in the style of, I don't know, some Celtic songs or Slavic folk songs or Central European folk songs, something to this effect. It's deliberately done this way. And however, there is this this one guitar, really, that starts to play this. The fuzz and the distortion on that guitar kind of increases up to the last verse, and it gives the song this grit. It doesn't really go into like screaming or anything like that. It doesn't escalate past that point, but it creates just enough tension, and then it subsides all of a sudden. It snaps and it subsides, and another guitar is playing very dissonant stuff. Constantly plays something around the fifth and the sixth of the key, somewhere between an E and F. Something to that effect. And that, of course, is there to create even more tension, even more dramatic tension. Because the song starts out, that intro is pretty smooth. It's just these wide octaves, which give this little twinkling, starry feel. But then this starts to create dissonance and tension, dramatic tension. So I think this is the very basic analysis of this song. There is really not much to say about it, musically speaking. It's a very simple, very straightforward song. And with that being said, let's move on to the next section, shall we? So as you can hear, here we are in the end of the When Painkillers Fail album. The song Hushabye Baby concludes the entire album. It kind of alludes to all the things that were said within the album. And at the same time, it has its own message. But it's a conclusion, and that's an important thing about any of my albums, is that usually the very last song, albeit it always carries its own unique local message, let's put it this way. It carries its own local message. At the same time, because it is in that position, it is the conclusive track, it usually also carries the message of the entire album. It's a summary. It is a conclusion. It is the final point, the period in the end of a sentence. That's what it is. It is the final scene of a movie. The conclusive scene. So, and this is why I keep repeating, please, don't hesitate to go and listen to an entire album, one of my albums, or maybe more, I don't know. And I'm not saying that you should start listening to,
that you necessarily should start with. You know, if you've never listened to any of my music, you should go and listen from the first to the last track to any given album. Maybe you will discover one separate song and you will listen to it, maybe you will like it. But then I want to recommend for you, if you like that one song, go to the album where this song belongs and then listen to the whole album. And maybe you will get more out of where this song is on the album. Maybe it's the sixth or, you know, eighth track, or maybe it's the first track, maybe it's the opening track on some album or something like that. Maybe it is the last track. Listen to the whole album and you will get more emotional context and more meaning out of that song if you listen to it in context. That's what I just want to recommend. Of course, you know, you do listen to things to your taste, but I just have to put it out there and I just have to give you this recommendation. And that is because, unlike many other artists, I use this approach. I don't write just separate songs, and I don't just randomly throw them into an album just because they sound well that way. When I'm working on an album, there is a reason why songs come in a certain progression. There is usually a story, a bigger story, that evolves, and you kind of go on that journey, and there is a beginning to that journey, and there is an end to that journey. It's like a movie with different sequences, with different parts in the movie, or it's like a book with different chapters. There is the beginning, and then there is the end. And usually this is how I think of albums, and that's why I love to work within this medium. I really like, I prefer to work on an entire album rather than working on separate singles. I can release separate singles, of course, and I can show them or work on a separate single with the intent of then further on including that into an album. But ultimately, I love the medium and the structure that a musical album provides, because it allows me to tell a story within a multitude of stories, and it allows me to show more, and it allows for a better flow of the story. So, I know that a lot of artists, you know, they just put the songs together, they sit well, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There's nothing wrong with this, you know. Some artists, they create these album stories, and others don't. And that's perfectly fine. You know, it kind of, some artists have it, you know, or bands, and others don't. What I'm saying is that, in my case, all of my albums are... they are usually a coherent body of work. It's not separate songs. They sometimes even they have cross references. Sometimes entire albums have cross references for a reason. Because I want you to investigate. I want you to get curious or not completely understand something on the first pass. I want you to dig in. I want you to try to find out the answers, or try to have your own interpretation. Ultimately, I want you to have your own interpretation. And usually there are layers of meaning. It's not just one thing. There is a multitude of things. And with that being said, here we go. When Painkillers Fail, this album is done. I'm done talking about it. I don't really know if I'm going to jump right into the next album or I'm going to take a break. I rather feel inclined to take a break for the following month, probably. And then we'll see. Then we'll see if I'm going to continue this podcast or this podcast is going to be over. I don't know. I need to think about this. I think for now, I'm going to take at least a 4-week break now that I've concluded this album. There are other albums, but, you know, there's the Take the Jab album, for example, but I don't want to talk about it. Not because I, don't want to talk about it. It's just that I don't want to disclose everything about it. It's in the works. But I don't want to extensively analyze it. I don't want to give all the answers. I want it to be right out of the gates when it comes out, and I want you to go and listen to it and feel it out without my commentary. That's what I want. And, you know, also, I haven't taken a break on this podcast for the entirety of this podcast. You know, as long as this podcast was running, I never took a single break. And I need to focus on the Take the Jab album, so I think I will take a break for a month, and then we'll see. Then we'll see where it goes. In whichever case, I want to invite you to check out all of my music on any major streaming platform. You can find it there. iTunes, Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube Music, wherever you like to consume music. Go ahead and check out my music and find something for yourself. I have heavier music, I have lighter pop music, all sorts of music. And on a different note, of course, as usual, I want to invite you to check out my other business, which is Southern Caracol Skin Health and Aromatherapy Products. Go to southerncaracol.com. The link is going to be in the footnotes to this podcast. Pick something for yourself. Explore my products, you know, whatever I have there. It's all natural products. There are no harsh chemicals. Very good for your skin. Very good for your hair and nails. And just, you know, check it out. If it's not your thing, it's not your thing. It's okay. I'll take this break for a month. I will see how, you know, where the wind goes. Let's put it this way. I'll see where the wind goes. And if I feel that there is a good reason to talk about Out of Gehenna, about that album, I will talk about it. Or about Iolas Severance, because those are the two albums that I haven't covered. Oh, and by the way, Killed Alive is yet another album that I have not talked about. There are those three albums, but I don't feel like I want to put any more strain on myself right now. I'm trying to focus on the Take the Jab production, and I just don't want to mix things up. I'm at this very important production stage right now, where everything has to be tightened up, and the final touch-ups are coming in. So I think a break is much needed at this point. In whichever case, you can always leave me comments to this episode, for example, or you can reach out to me at my Gmail, at my email, which is, again, in the footnotes. If you have any questions or you have any suggestions or you want to express your opinion on should I continue with this podcast sooner, or should I cover, you know, one of those three albums, or maybe you just, you know, have a few things that you want to say about this podcast, you can always reach out to me through my email, and it's going to be in the footnotes to this episode. So, with that being said, thank you very much for being with me so far. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I really appreciate you. I love you. And you will probably hear me again in a month. I love you. Have a wonderful time.